Good evening, everyone. It's evening where I am. I film this usually like around 11 at night or something. So good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Kink Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and it is lovely to be here. It's a nice windy night and maybe hopefully some rain. I like the sound of rain. I definitely reckon I sleep better with rain. And you might be wondering, why do you sleep better with rain? I'll tell you why. Because rain is like, and loud wind is a constant noise going on, right? Like a low level noise in the background. So when somebody makes a bang or drives past in a car, it drowns out those noises. Whereas if it's a quiet, quiet night and, you know, a wolf goes woo, like it really stands out. But when it's raining, a noise like that doesn't stand out. So you just hear all the time, like, shh, as opposed to silence, then, and so when there's a silent night and there is a noise, it's like an alarm clock. It's like it's quiet and suddenly the alarm going, waking you up. But when it's like constant noise all the time and then, you know, a wolf's or whatever in the background, it isn't like an alarm that really hits you. Do you get what I mean? I think you get what I mean. Anyway, that's the reason why everyone, I think, sleeps better when it's like a nice rainy night. Because random noises throughout the night don't slightly wake you up. Because those slight noises can sometimes put you into that dream state. I think we've all had that where, like, there's been noise going on and we start dreaming and then we wake up. And so you want to have I don't think dream state is good. And so the whole night you don't want to have any noise to try and slightly wake you up and put you into dream state. And then your sleep isn't as good. So it's better off just pure silence and you have a better sleep. Wow, that was my description of sleeping. Yeah. Wow, what a cocky person I am to try and teach people that rain helps them sleep better. Yeah, maybe I am cocky. But I just think it's interesting understanding why. A lot of people are just like, oh, it's soothing. But, like, why is it soothing? Because it's also a noise from a fan has a similar effect. And I actually really like waves crashing on the beach. Because you just hear all the time, you hear shh, poof, you just hear that noise the whole time. And I think it makes sleeping a lot easier. Some people sleep with white noise going on or whatever, like intentionally they play it on the radio. And I don't go that far, not that obsessed with it, but maybe I should try it. Anyway, you know, one day I'll get my hands on 8 hours worth of raining and I'll play it on my phone or something when I go to sleep and see how that goes. Now, during this podcast, if you hear this noise, don't be alarmed. That's just me drinking some green tea. All right. Well, I didn't do a podcast last week because I was insanely busy. I've got to do a podcast now, and it could be half an hour long or an hour long. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't have anything in particular to talk about. You know, this has gotten off to a flying start, hasn't it? But this is with this podcast. It's unprofessional and it's just me talking about stuff. So, yeah, just whatever comes to my mind, and something should come to my mind. I'm just waiting for something to come to my mind and it will. And sometimes, yeah, something comes and sparks off something. I really don't have anything to say. Like, have I done a podcast? I don't know if I've done a podcast about yoga yet. I don't think I've done one on yoga. Well, maybe let's, this is going to be about yoga then. See, I told you something would come up. This is something I can talk about for half an hour. Okay, so I got into yoga about a year ago, and I really like it. I think it's really good. There's different types of yoga, but essentially I think it really is just stretching muscles. Like a lot of those athletes and people who play sport and stuff, a lot of them, when they stretch their muscles, actually do poses that people do in yoga. And the difference between yoga and the athlete is they do it to warm themselves up for the run or whatever, but the yoga people just do it to stretch and get blood into certain areas of the body, and it's really good for you and really healthy. I can now do some poses that I, you know, couldn't even come close to doing, you know, a year ago, and you know, my body's a lot more flexible and healthier, I reckon. And one thing that was really interesting was that I noticed a few poses could, sorry, I'm just hearing the noise of the headphones I'm wearing scratching against, I guess, my clothes, and it's really pissing me off. And I think it happens every podcast, but, sorry for you listeners who have to put up with that. Like, it does sound like it would be pretty annoying just hearing that movement noise all the time, but sorry. I mean, I've got a mic I can use that won't do that, but, it's, and a lot more annoying to use, but this one just has that little bit of that scratching noise, and it's just you guys who have to suffer from hearing that scratching noise. And, you know, I'm not really going to be listening to this podcast, so you guys can enjoy the suffering of the scratching noise. Anyway, one thing that the yoga did that was really interesting was it can unblock your nose, which is really interesting. Like you do these certain stretches and it gets blood into your head and into your, you can get, I don't know, whatever into your nasal passages, and it can help unblock your nose. And I noticed it when I was just messing around with yoga and doing some poses, and then I was suddenly like, oh wow, I couldn't breathe through my nose. And I was like, what the hell, you can use yoga, can unblock your nose? And then I looked up on the internet, and yeah, they had videos that taught people how to like do yoga that would unblock your nose. And it's just like, wow. And then there's yoga that can get rid of like neck pain, and yoga that can, you know, help your immune system. And there's all these different types of yogas, you know, it's pretty cool. So yeah, I've been doing yoga for a while now, and, definitely reckon it's pretty good. If I was a athlete or a sports person, I would do yoga even more, like without a doubt. And I know that they do stretch, which is kind of similar, but this is like, to me, yoga is like hour-long stretching that's really thorough and really gets in there, and is really healthy. And what it also does is it relaxes you, because it's just, you know, sort of quietness, and you're just stretching and doing poses and stuff. And that relaxes a person and calms them down. So it's also like a mental thing. Now, one thing that was really interesting when I first did yoga, when you first do yoga, it's painful. Like positions are quite painful, but it gets easier and easier and easier. Anyway, when I first did yoga, I remember the instructor was, you know, running us through the poses, and then she got us to do a pose that involved the hips, right? And I think while I was doing it, maybe some negative thoughts got into my mind. But that's kind of normal for me. I didn't think anything of it. But then she goes, oh, if you've got some, you know, negative thoughts going on at the moment, that's just because you're working on the hips, because the hips store emotional pain or something. And so just, you know, they'll just go away. And I was a bit like, oh, wow, really? So she said that, and I was thinking something negative at that same time. And that was just a little bit of a coincidence, you know, because I probably do, back then I was probably thinking about negative things, I don't know how much of the time, like 15% of the time or something. And it was just like, oh, wow, and I was thinking about it just as she was saying the hip thing. And then you speak to other people and they're like, they, I think, have negative thoughts while they're doing hip stretches. And so I was just like, it's just so strange when you first, someone first says to you, you know, or you're having negative thoughts because you're stretching your hip. You're just like, yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's, that's just a joke. Like, I'm just stretching my hips. What have my hips got to do with negative thoughts, you know? And it's kind of like the same as when you first hear about, like, the 9/11 conspiracy theory. You're just like, what the fuck? Yes, if the government would cause it. Like, you just, your instant reaction is like, that's just ridiculous. But then when you actually look into things, you're like, wow, no, this is, there's something going on here. Like that yoga stretch does, when you stretch the hips, that does stir up and run out negative emotions in people. And, like, you can almost use it as, like, a cure for depression. And that's just really interesting. And that's where, like truth is stranger than fiction. And where this world is just amazing. Because it's little things like that, just heaps of them. Like, the 9/11 thing I said. And the yoga thing. You're just like, what the hell? I was just stretching my hips. Why the hell am I... Like, you'd think maybe if you stretch your heart or something, you know, maybe some emotion will come out. But your hips, you're just like, why? Like, it's just so bizarre. And then you hear about people who can turn light bulbs on with their mind in Russia. And it's not bullshit. Like, this is serious stuff. I mean, if someone's not interested in this world that they're living in, it's because they just have all the cool information hidden from them and they haven't found it out yet. Because it really is cool and it really is interesting. And just one of them is just the hip thing in yoga. It's just like, that's just interesting. And then, like, our shoulders hold stress in them. Stressful people have tense shoulders and backs and stuff and necks. Just interesting, you know? So, I mean, someone who has depression could be listening to this right now. Just dive into all these yoga hip and hip stretches and stuff and look it up and voila, that's something you can do. And it's just one of many things you can do because it's just like, it's not like it's going to solve all your problems, but that really does help. And, you know, I'm doing a lot better from it. Like, I used to slouch my back a lot of the time, and I didn't realize that I wasn't sitting straight or anything. I'd just have my back slouched a lot of the time because I was so exhausted and sort of worn out. But then after you do the yoga and you stretch your muscles and you get healthier, suddenly you can hold your back straighter and you're just like, oh, wow. So this is what it's like to sit up straight. I can't believe how I used to sit. I used to sit, like, so slouched forward in such a lazy way because I was just so tired all the time. So yeah. So with the yoga thing, I just got to recommend that you just got to do it. I really think it's a, like, especially if you're doing a physical job. And it's like, do it for a year or something, and then you get to a point where your body is fairly flexible and you're in a pretty good shape, and then you can give up at that point. You know what I mean? But it's just like, now it's like, you know, I can bend my back into, like, really bent positions. You might be like, why would someone need to do that? And it's just like, I think it's good to occasionally stretch all those things and get muscles, like, blood flowing into them. And also, you know, if someone, if some emergency situation where I have to do, like, some weird position with my body or, like, I don't know, I can just twist and I'm more agile and stuff, and it's really interesting. And I think if someone's stressed, I'd definitely recommend yoga to do. And also, I'd recommend yoga on a gradient to doing meditation for someone who's stressed. I think meditation might be too hard to straight away get into. Or just if you're pretty stressed, then obviously if you're stressed, you'd also have the body and the muscle problems and stuff. So you really need to stretch all those muscles and that. But this gets onto meditation though, because I think the goal of meditation is you're supposed to, like, think of the mantra, and like it's like this word in your head and keep on thinking of it, and it's really, I find it like incredibly hard. Like I can't do it. My mind just goes off like so easily. And even after, you know, trying for like over a year now and stuff, it's still pretty bad. But I think the goal is to not even try, and I'm giving up on doing the mantra thing. I'm just going to, have nothingness and just sit there with nothingness instead of trying to say the mantra, because it just annoys me. It's just like I'm there for 20 minutes of it. I want to relax and try and get into this high meditation state, and it's just like me having to like try and do the mantra. It's just, it's too hard for me to focus on the mantra. So it's just like, even if I do it in a light way. So I think the best thing for me to do is just go into nothingness and just sit there with nothing going on and not try and force it, but just casually sit there and just wait the 20 minutes. I think that's what I'm going to go into, and then maybe in the future try and do the mantra thing. I just find when I sit there, my attention's on my body too much, no matter what. It's always like, oh, my arm is tense or my knee's tense, and it's just like, oh, just, it's crazy, but that's just how I am. But some people, you can leave them alone and say, oh, okay, go sit in this room and think of nothing and walk off, and then they'll actually think of nothing for the 20 minutes, and I'll be like, wow. You sort of asking the person's like, yeah, like I'm just like, wow, how do you do that? It's amazing. I have all this stuff going on in my mind. Yeah, so I got into meditation about around the same time as I got into yoga, and meditation was really, really good because it was like the first time in my life where you just have me time, or you just don't do anything instead of just always rush and do all these things and all this sort of stuff. Suddenly it's just like, just do nothing. And it's, and even just thinking of doing nothing at the moment, I'm enjoying the idea of it. It's just like, I know some people might find it boring, but it's just, you sort of, everyone's in the matrix, right? And to me, doing meditation is that time set out for you to at least try and get out of the matrix, you know, to at least say, all right, I'm not going to be trapped in this matrix and be a slave and shit and doing stuff all the time, working all the time. It's just like this 20 minutes of just like, you know, I might not be able to leave this dimension or leave the matrix, but at least I'm sitting here and at least sort of trying for 20 minutes and at least I'm giving it a go. Because if you continue running around in circles in the matrix doing stuff all the time, you're never going to get out of the matrix, are you? You have to set aside some time to actually go, okay, I'm going to try and get out of the matrix now. And you, I mean, I don't know, you know, might, some people can do it by saying the mantra in their head or whatever way they have. And it's not easy, obviously. You can't just sit there and just suddenly go into another dimension. But it's at least you're trying, and you might get to the stage. Like some people pop out of their body and like float around and stuff when they do these things. So that's pretty cool. So that's kind of like getting out of the matrix. But if you're floating around this universe, it's like you're still in the matrix, but at least you're out of your body. So you're like, you're much freer in the matrix. And then the next level is going to the next, other dimensions. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. But yeah, I mean, another example of something, as I was saying earlier, things that just blow your mind is when someone mentioned to me that there are some people who don't need to eat and they survive without eating, and they call like breatharians or something. And actually, because that's one of the things I heard when I was doing yoga for the first time a year ago, I think one of the instructors said that about people who don't eat, and she just casually mentioned it, and I was just like, what the hell, that's just like, are you serious? That's huge. And then, like, I asked her after, like, when she had, like, a question and answer segment, and then I asked, and she was like, yeah, just look it up on the internet, and there's people who can just live without breathing, and I've heard of, sorry, live without eating, and I saw things, and there's these people in India who like go into hibernation for like 3 months and they don't eat for 3 months. They just meditate for 3 months or whatever, and they're just there, just not eating, and they survive. And see, that's a piece of information just goes pop, whoa, you know, that's big. And you hear the stories about when Jesus was around and he went to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and just meditated the whole time and didn't eat, you know. That's what he was doing. He was just doing what these Indians are doing nowadays, you know. And I haven't had a chance to fly over into India to verify this, but they did scientific tests on this guy, and he could literally survive. And this one guy has survived for 70 years now without eating or drinking anything. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. But this is just another bit of information where you go bullshit straight away. And it's just like, no, this stuff is true. It's so wild, but it's true. You know, I can't say 100% true because I haven't visited to see the guy, but, you know, it's pretty damn true. There's a lot of reports of it and stuff going on. And it's just like, people don't know the truth of this world that we're living in and what's really going on. Like, you can live without eating. That's pretty amazing, you know. That's so cool. It's so cool. You know, and that's why, like, Richard Dawkins and some of the other scientists would be like, that's utterly ridiculous. It's been scientifically proven you can't live without eating. And then, like, you just take this dude who just meditates and he gets his energy from meditation. He lives off that. And it's just like, there you go. This guy proves you wrong. And it's just like, if it wasn't for all these anomalies, all these bits of information about ghosts and people leaving their bodies, because people leave their bodies in hospitals when they die and then they come back and they come back to life, and there's all these stories about them. Check out Coast to Coast AM. It's just amazing. With all these unusual things, if it wasn't for all these unusual things, standard science would be correct and would be down pat and would be good, because it would be all the answers you need. But there's all these strange things that just don't make sense, that are just out there, that are just like, what the, that just make you look at science and go, well, you guys haven't worked it out yet, have you? You know? Because I remember speaking to a biology student once, and she's like, you can't survive that long without eating food because the cells pass down and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, have a look at this dude in India. You know, these things are really happening. And it's just like, your explanation is correct, but it's not totally correct. Like, I agree, yeah, the cells break down. That happens to some people. But other people can just, I don't know how they're doing it, but they can just survive without eating. And it's like some of these people who can bend smooths with their mind and stuff, it's just like, I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it. And that's amazing. And they're really cool. But then they spew out their university training and their brainwashing. It's like, and it's just like, hey, look, that's cool for you to have that, but also open up your mind to other possibilities that are going on. You know, don't just be closed-minded about things. So this is really cool what's going on, and I'm looking forward to finding out, you know, more and more the truth and that sort of stuff. Science has to go, and it is. It's moving more and more into with quantum physics. Science has to go in the direction of spirituality, or, you know, paranormal or supernatural, or just shit that they have no explanations for. But here's the thing. I mean, you got a radio, right? It's some tower and it puts out some beam or something. Can't even see it. And then somehow your radio can tune in and listen to sound that was made thousands of miles away or whatever. That's amazing. You know what I mean? That's like, what the hell? And you can't see it. So there's all these things going on that you can't see, you know? So, like, and yes, they somehow managed a way to measure radio waves, but they haven't found out a way to measure, like, ghosts and all these other things, you know? Science just hasn't caught up. It's really interesting. There's just a lot going on. And so when they say, you know, I can't see it, so I don't believe it, or we can't measure it, so therefore it doesn't exist, it's just like, no, you just haven't worked out a way to measure it. This stuff is going on and the evidence is there. And it's just, don't be so stubborn, you know? So, yeah, it's really interesting. So anyway, back to what I was talking about, meditation. So I'm just going to cut out the mantra thing and just do nothing and enjoy it and stuff. And I want to see if I can leave my body, like some of these people that – some people say that they've spoken to numerous people about this, that they can – yeah, they can get to a condition where they can leave their body and stuff. And that's pretty cool, you know. That would be awesome to have happen. Also, there's apparently a condition that you can get to in yoga where you – I mean, in meditation when you're doing it and you can't feel your body at all. That's a condition I want to get into as well. That would be really cool to just sit down and then after a few minutes not be able to feel my body, because I definitely have a lot of attention on my body. Like I'll itch it, or I'll be like, oh, my tense knee, or just like my attention's too much on my body and distracted by it too much. So it'd be cool to not to not even notice my body's there. Like that'll be like, wow, that'll be... Anyway, then this is why people take drugs and that, because, well, what's going on? Oh, hold on, wait. Oh, the microphone. Sorry. Anyway, that's why people take drugs and stuff, because they get into these high states that we're talking about without having to do the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of yoga. They just pop a pill and they can be like, oh my God, wow, I'm high and stuff. And some people can leave their body as well while they're having... while they're taking drugs and stuff. And some people can go to other dimensions and that sort of stuff when they take drugs, like the LSD and those sort of things. Like, I think there are other dimensions and stuff, because when people talk about LSD, it's like they all take it. I think it's LSD, and they'll see like pixies. And it's like, why does everyone seem to see pixies when they take this? Like, how bizarre is that? Like, what the hell is going on? Why would they all see pixies? You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty strange. And I'm pretty sure you can take it, you can grab people who haven't even heard of the myths of a pixie ever before, and they'll take it and they'll see like pixie-like creatures. So what the hell is going on there? Like, maybe that is going into another dimension, you know? Anyway, there's scientists who have looked into it who liked LSD and have experimented with it for ages, and they claim that it's their ability to... They claim that when they take... I think it's LSD and some of those other hallucinogenics, those substances enable them to communicate with aliens, basically, because they're people that aren't... when they take it, they go into a realm that's not from this earth. Another thing that's really amazing when people take these things is also they'll take it and they'll be high for like 8 minutes, but the 8 minutes will feel like 8 hours. Now, how interesting is that? So you take it and suddenly it changes your whole perception of time. You know, it's pretty out there stuff. And so I don't think people should, you know, regularly take drugs and that, because it's slowly poisoning yourself and it can screw up your mind. But I think as a once-off, trying these certain things and having these experiences, I think they can really increase your intelligence, you know? And then apparently a lot of people when they take LSD, like they come back from it, they're like, wow, I can see the truth. I'm see the truth. It's just like, what the hell? You know what I mean? You can't know what that's like until you try it yourself, you know? So I think it's good for someone, for someone's intelligence and to improve them to literally try drugs, you know. The only thing that can become problematic is that if the person's an addictive sort of person and they try it once and they have such a good time, then they try it again and again and again. So, you know, that's the problem where, you know, you shouldn't really encourage it. And if you've got a person who just isn't strong-willed, you're playing with fire, because they might try ice once and just, that's it. They love it so much, they can't stop taking it, you know? So you got to have someone who's strong-willed that can, you know, just do something once and that's it, you know? So that's my opinion of drugs and that. I reckon, you know, try every one of them like twice and that's it. So you can at least you can know what people are talking about when they talk about drugs and the effects it's had on them and that sort of stuff, and make sure they're safe if you're taking them and that. But some people are really strict, like, no, drugs are bad, stay away from them. And it's just like, whoa, calm down, man. Like, you're just taking things too far. Like, whoa, like, obviously you're scared of drugs if you're so paranoid about them. It's just like, how weak are you as a person if you're, like, so adamant on fighting drugs and you're so scared of them? You know? A strong, powerful, successful, like, Buddha, for example, Buddha wouldn't be afraid of drugs. He'd probably say, you know, you shouldn't do them because they're not good for you, but he wouldn't be like, oh, I'm scared of them, you know, like, and has some crazy war on drugs. You know what I mean? It's just like, whoa, calm down, you know? Anyway. So recommend yoga because I've got to wrap up this podcast. So recommend yoga. Definitely. I try and do it like every second day, and meditation like every second day as well. And especially if you've got like anxiety problems or depression problems, I reckon that really can help. If you're an athlete sort of person, then definitely get into the yoga thing. You can just, you know, watch videos on the internet and learn how to do poses yourself and just do whatever muscles you feel like need to get stretched and stuff. And it's good. I think it's really good and it'll really improve you. And yep, that's about it. So that's it for me. Andy Nauch, Space Cowboy. Creating freedom for you and me. Signing out. Ni hao.